Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. After COVID and George Floyd hit in 2020, the nation was in turmoil. The next year strained every sector of society, including university campuses. And by the end of 2021, SOU had replaced its former president with a new one. Rick Bailey was facing severe challenges when he settled into the driver's seat at SOU in 2022. Yet by that summer, he had clearly established a direction for the campus. President Bailey brought with him a character of empathetic leadership, inclusivity, and an innovative entrepreneurial spirit. He introduced four guiding strategies: cost management, revenue diversification, grants, and philanthropy to steer the university into the future. Today, SOU is living the dream that President Bailey introduced a few years ago. Recently, the Board of Trustees unanimously awarded him with a new three-year contract, and he joins me in the studio today to discuss his vision for campus sustainability and revenue diversification. Welcome to the Exchange,
President Thank you Bailey. So much, Mike. I'm happy to be here.
And joining the conversation by phone is Bex Walker, the Director of Sustainability at SOU. Rebecca Walker, who is affectionately known as Bex, arrived at SOU with 15 years of experience with the Scottish Environmental Protection Agency. Her arrival preceded President Bailey's by a couple of years. So when he arrived, there was a sustainability plan in place, and the campus was soon awarded a gold rating for sustainability, the first in its history. The two have teamed up to accelerate the execution of a plan that could make SOU the first university in the nation to fully produce all of its own daytime campus electricity. Welcome to the Exchange, Bex.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Listeners can join the conversation by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So, first of all, did I get anything wrong in the introduction?
No, I want to put you in a commercial. That was fantastic. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
So, Bex, we'll start with you. Let's take a walk down memory lane, if you will. Can you tell me your sense of the campus conditions and the state of the environment here when you first arrived?
Yes, I was very fortunate to arrive to a strong sustainability foundation. One of the things that attracted me to the position at Southern Oregon University was its commitment and history around sustainability. SOU was the first B campus in the USA. We had tree campus certification. We'd already started a journey with solar, with a number of rays on campus. We were a silver rated university, and we were building sustainability into our curriculum. And there were a number of colleagues on campus who were committed to furthering our sustainability. So I saw it as a great foundation, but I also saw opportunity to innovate, to be creative, continue to combine higher education with sustainability and how the campus operates. And so we increased our solar on campus in the first few years I was there. And then we also achieved the gold rating for the university. And then it was an absolute pleasure to see President Bailey come in and have a vision around solar on campus and combine that with financial sustainability as well. It's really important in terms of building better systems on campus that are sustainable, to understanding what that does for the financial sustainability as well as environmental and social sustainability.
Well, I appreciate that answer because that leads me right into the challenges with financial stability that were part of this campus reality when you arrived, President Bailey.
Yeah.
So tell me about that.
Yeah, it's a good question. Bex put it perfectly. I think that when we started down this process, we recognized that we were about 20% underwater budget wise, which is huge, and so you couldn't then do small things to solve that. Like, you had to do something major to do it. And so one of the first questions we started asking ourselves is, what can we stop paying for or pay less for, right? So that we take very, very precious resources and focus them where they need to be focused, namely the students. Well, one of those areas is energy, right? If there is a way for us to pay less for energy naturally, then no matter any other thing aside, it's the right fiscal thing to do. So we started envisioning what this might look like. By the way, Bex is way too kind. She's the visionary here. I am just happy to be in the room with her. But the idea of becoming the first campus, and we set this ambitious goal to be the first public university in the country to make all of our own daytime electricity on our campus. No one is doing that. In fact, no university is doing that completely. And I started talking about this, and we're going to be the first university. And then our friends down at Stanford got a $1.5 billion gift. So they're probably going to beat us now. But so now we're saying first public university. But we're on our way. Sorry for the long answer. The other thing I'll say is, and Bex hinted at this, our students about 10, 11 years ago imposed on themselves a green fee. In addition to tuition and fees, they implemented a special fee that they all agreed to pay to help transition some of this energy on our campus. And so when I went to DC asking for federal dollars, this is a couple of years ago, it was so easy to say, look, our students are so, this is so important to them that they instituted their own fee to pay for it. I'm like, who does that? So it was a really easy way for us to brag about the vision and the future.
So the students are leading the charge.
Absolutely.
And they're doing it out of pocket.
Yeah, yeah. They contribute to a green fee every year, and they've done it for the last 12 years. And Bex, you'll have to correct me on that, 10 to 12 years. So they led the way for us.
And Bex, you're the director of sustainability. Tell me about your relationship with the student body.
Yes, as President Bailey said, these students are leading here. It came in 2013. It's a $14 per term green fund fee. And this goes into a fund where students then decide what projects to take forward on campus. And a number of these projects have been solar. And what's really interesting with the solar projects is it generates revenue to go back into this fund for the students. And I'm working with a student at the moment looking at potentially funding solar to then fund the food pantry on campus, contribute to the food pantry, which is there to combat food insecurity. So you have students thinking, how do we build a better system on campus just for us? How do we think about our own financial sustainability in terms of combating food insecurity? If we're funding the solar, how can we then use it to invest in new systems on campus? So in terms of the student relationship, it's amazing because we can push forward projects with them. They want to innovate. They want to take forward something on campus. There are so many projects on campus that this Green Fund has funded, from bioswales with water, stormwater coming down parking lots, through to solar on campus, through to non-disposable wipes in the student recreation center. And it's great because little by little, we build a more sustainable campus in partnership with the student body.
My guests today are SOU President Rick Bailey and Director of Sustainability Bex Walker. We're talking about the vision for campus environmental sustainability and diversified revenue streams. Bex, I watched President Bailey's campus update from June 2022. And he had only been here 6 months, but he was announcing the designation of a gold rating for campus-wide sustainability, which was the first in its history. What does that mean?
Yeah, that was an exciting moment. We'd had silver every 3 years. We report on our sustainability at a national level, and most colleges and universities in the United States follow the same reporting system. And we've been a silver historically, and it was time to report again, and we were seeing our numbers had improved in certain areas. Now, this sustainability reporting is all-inclusive. It is not just how the campus operates in terms of its landscape, energy use, waste management. It's looking at our curriculum. It's looking at how we're building sustainability into our curriculum. It's looking at our governance, our planning and administration, how we're partnering with the community. And it's also looking at how we engage with the community and how we engage with students. So it's huge. It's about 70 credits across the board. And we were very, very happy to be awarded a gold rating. That was in 2022. As I mentioned, it's every 3 years. So there are a couple of us at the moment working to report again. And we're hoping to maintain our gold rating with a view to achieving platinum in the future. Platinum is the highest rating you can achieve.
It sounds like you're well on your way. President Bailey, you established 4 guideposts early on for your vision here at SOU: cost management, revenue diversification, grants, and philanthropy. At least that's what I heard you say in your 2022 update. Are those still tracking or have there been any changes?
Yeah, it's a great question, Mike. So yes, those are still four of the four pillars of our SOU Forward plan, which is it's not our institution's strategic plan. It's really how did we attack this crisis and how are we going to get ourselves out of it and how are we going to redesign the fiscal model for the institution? So those four pathways are still solid. It's a timely question because when I think about cost management, energy fits into that, right? How do we lower our costs long term? One of the other four you mentioned is revenue diversification. We are looking at how we are going to be more entrepreneurial in the way we bring revenue in, because traditionally the only two sources of revenue that we've ever relied on are state dollars and tuition. Well, we can't continue to put more and more on the backs of students, so we have to think about what are new revenue sources. Just about a week and a half ago, we released a request for qualifications for a public-private partnership to build a senior living facility on our campus, which will actually be located in the spot where the Cascade housing complex used to be. And so that's a brand new enterprise, something that we've never tried in our 153 years. So very, very excited about things like that. And then lastly, philanthropy. 10 years ago, on average, we were raising about $2 to $2.5 million a year. And in the last 3 years, we've averaged over $10 million a year. So we're in a whole new world. Now, ideally, we are going to look at how we encourage using that philanthropy, not just for scholarships and traditional uses, but also can we use it in ways to help support faculty endowments, chair endowments, programming endowments, because those things bend the cost curve for the institution long term.
So that's sustainability and the financial.
Absolutely. Yeah. And as Beck said, the two are so completely intertwined that it works for everybody.
Okay. And how are the students involved in this process?
So students were involved through SOU Forward in the most difficult of ways. And I really give credit to ASSOU, which is our student government body. They were involved in all of it and actually put a lot on their shoulders. As Beck said, you know, not just with the Green Fund where they decide how they're going to use those dollars, but even with their student fee, their incidental fee, it's student government that decides how that money is going to get parsed out. And where we had over a decade of lowering enrollment, that meant less dollars for them, fewer dollars for them to decide on. So they had to make some very, very difficult decisions at the same time that the institution was making very difficult decisions. So they've been lockstep with us the whole way.
Well, I've heard from other institutions that they've had trouble with enrollment. So at the same time that you're trying to cut costs and you're trying to find other revenue streams, what about enrollment?
Yeah, it's a great question. So we actually have looked at two things. One, how do we bring in students that maybe traditionally aren't being courted by institutions? So I'm a first-generation college student, and it didn't happen often, but once in a while when someone, you know, when our family got a letter from a university that said, hey, we could see Rick at our school, that meant a lot to us. Well, I think there are a lot of students in the Rogue Valley and beyond that really no one's reaching out to. You have the students who are the 4.0 students, and every school in the country is looking out for them. But there are students who are in the 2.5 to 3.5 range who will do very, very well in college, and no one's reaching out. So we need to reach out to them better. We've also signed agreements with 10 different school districts, and I've visited personally with superintendents from Ashland all the way to Portland, where we're actually doing data sharing, where we can actually get information about those families so we can reach out in a more strategic way. And that's starting to have a huge impact. The other side of the coin, though, is retention. It's one thing to bring students in, but how do we make sure that we give them the support that they need to get them on the path to the graduation stage? The more we do that, the better.
I like that. So you're establishing that relationship early on through networks mm-hmm. of high schools.
Absolutely.
And then you're looking at how do we keep them here? How do we support them
yeah.
once they get here?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a much more complicated challenge than I think it was just 20 years ago. So we have to really think holistically about student support.
Well, a lot of these kids are still sort of traumatized from
yeah.
COVID.
Yeah. And I think some of that, Mike, actually started, I think some of the seeds were planted even before that. I think COVID really just exacerbated it and sped yeah. it up. But the challenges have been existing for a while.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to have more of this conversation. We're really going to get into what's happening on campus today and then tomorrow.
Sounds great.
My guests are SOU President Rick Bailey and Director of Sustainability Bex Walker. I'm Mike Green. You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange on JPR. Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. My guests are SOU President Rick Bailey and Director of Sustainability Bex Walker. We're talking about the vision for campus environmental sustainability and diversified revenue streams. Listeners can join by email at jx@jeffnet.org. So Bex, let's talk about SOU's ambitious vision to be the first university campus in the nation to produce its own daytime campus electricity. Of course, now you're racing Stanford and they have $1 billion. But how does that happen?
It happens with a strategy plan in terms of looking at our space on campus and where can this solar generation go. And we've had a feasibility study looking at the orientation of our parking lots, the location of our parking lots, as well as the roof spaces on campus to see where the likely candidates are for solar. And then we've identified kind of the priority areas, whether it's a parking lot or a roof space. And then of course it's funding. We look at the return on investment in terms of the university funding, but also we're looking at philanthropic funding, state funding, and federal funding. And we're in a fortunate position at the moment that we have secured $5.9 million dollars for solar and battery storage projects, and we've installed one recently that's part of that funding pot in July 2024. It was completed, and it's the largest solar array in Ashland on Lithium Motors Pavilion, adding to the 63 kilowatts already up there. We've added another 241 kilowatts. And then following that, we have another number of other projects in the pipeline where that funding is allocated to. One is currently being installed, but due to the weather in the Rogue Valley at the moment, it is on pause this week, but we're hoping to complete the solar installation next week or the week after, and that's on the Hawk Dining. And that will be combined with battery storage. So we're looking at a goal of energy daytime electricity to be produced on campus. We're looking at also how it can build community resilience and energy resilience as part of the community and for the university.
Yeah, the only thing I'd add to that is when I first got here, I asked Bex, okay, what would it take? Like, what would it take for us? How much would we have to generate in order to, and Bex, I don't know if this is still the number, but what she told me at the time, this is 3 years ago, is 7.2 megawatts. Like, that's what we have to generate on campus in order to be 100% daytime, you know, support our needs. And so then we started looking at, okay, well, where could we, how do we generate that? And there's two things that we have on our fingertips on this campus, and that's land and sun. So we said, how do we put those two things together? And really, when you look out on our campus, I want to say, Bex, we have 36 parking lots on our, something like that, on our campus. Mm-hmm. Well, imagine, especially for the big ones, imagine if we could set elevated rooftop kind of solar where it doesn't take away any parking. You still park underneath it, but yet we're using that land in a way to generate electricity. And so hypothetically and theoretically, it works. Like, the math works. If we could do this, it could work out. That will eventually, so within the next 10 years, if we didn't do anything else, our annual electricity bill for the campus would be about $1 million a year. Right now it's somewhere around, Bex will know the number, right? Somewhere around $700,000 or $800,000 a year. So the more we move toward this goal, the less we're actually going to have to pay long term, and that actually provides more precious resources for ourselves. Bex mentioned resiliency. The other really important key here is we've partnered with the city of Ashland and with the Ashland School District to say, hey, if and when, unfortunately, there is another natural disaster, where are the community resources and how do we pull those things together? So SOU agreed to host an emergency operations center so that first responders in real time can do that. Well, it's not a coincidence that Bex has planned for a lot of that resiliency to be down at Lithium Motors Pavilion, because that's where our emergency op center is housed. We have the Hawk Dining facility right next to it. So there's all these things that can be of need to our community. We're focusing our energies there.
And that's right near Raiders Stadium.
Absolutely. Yeah, which could be a makeshift hospital. Like, all of these things start to come into play.
So as I picture this, I picture all of these parking lots with large umbrellas of solar panels.
Yeah.
Aesthetically, this is a beautiful campus. Mm-hmm. Lots of trees, rolling hills. You're in the foothills of Mount Ashland. I mean, this is an idyllic setting.
Yeah.
How does that affect the aesthetics of the university?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I'll start, Bex, and then maybe if you want to jump in. So the artist rendering that I've seen, think about right now when you look on the campus. It's a gorgeous. Actually, I think it's the most beautiful campus in the country. Actually, I'll say on the planet. But but we do have parking lots. Well, parking lots are just barren lots, right? So having solar on it, I don't think takes away in any way from the aesthetics. We're not knocking down trees to do it. It's already flat, paved land. And actually, the artist depictions I've seen are actually pretty sleek. I think it also is, and I'll just confess personally, I think it's also a visible symbol of our commitment to really changing the way we do things. I think it's a good thing for people to see elevated. By the way, we didn't even talk about electric vehicle charging stations, all these other things that are going to be benefits from it.
So those are going to be part of it.
Yeah, yeah.
My guests today are SOU President Rick Bailey and Director of Sustainability Bex Walker. We're talking about the vision for campus environmental sustainability and diversified revenue streams. So let's move into diversified revenue streams.
Sure.
And you mentioned something like electric charging stations. I don't know if that factors in, but tell me about the plan. You have a senior living facility that's being planned as part of it.
Yeah, we started thinking about, and I'll confess to all of your listeners that initially my goal was, how do we diversify revenue? Like it really was a dollars and cents issue. How do we think differently about it? And so the idea for the senior living facility, which I think has been something on SOU's radar for 20 years probably, and we've had some really, really thoughtful people working here who've been dreaming about it. But when I got here, and maybe it was because of the necessity of we've got to do something different, I think everyone, including the city of Ashland, was really open to this idea. And so we started to put those things in place. Our goal is to cut a ribbon on this and actually have residents in place by the fall of 2027. In the office of the president now, there are people who have called in over the last 2 years that we've been talking about this and have actually said, hey, as soon as Rick gets that thing open, I want to live there. So we already have a list of potential residences, which is great. Residents.
I can imagine that. You're bringing the community onto the campus. And this is, as you said, and I believe it, it's a beautiful campus.
Yeah.
It's a great place to live.
Super. Yeah, you're right, Mike. And I know I'm biased, but I think it's the best real estate in the Rogue Valley. The thought is that we would partner with someone who really specializes in maintaining and operating senior living facilities. And what SOU brings to the table is the experience, like mm-hmm. the life experience, because those residents are going to have access not only to the Oregon Center for the Arts that we host here, not only for our world-class athletic events and student lectures and faculty and things at the Hannon Library, all that stuff, the Schneider Museum of Art. In our vision, they would also have access to classes, space available. They'd have access to classes that we offer too, and not just to audit a class, but to get another degree, right? Mm-hmm. That helps everybody. And so this is why it's going to seem like we knew what we were doing, even though I will confess to you and your listeners that I kind of stumbled into it. When we really start talking about the benefits of intergenerational connectivity, I mean, the benefits are countless. It's incredible what we're going to be able to build here, because they're not just going to be people who are living on the campus. They're going to be people who are embedded into the fabric of the university.
Well, I'm a firm believer in that as well. Bex, what are the plans to ensure that the new development fits within the sustainability model?
We have had a number of discussions internally. Absolutely. That's roof space. It's so hard to see solar on that roof space. And we're looking, any new buildings, we do strive to be silver rated in terms of how it's built, but this is a real opportunity as a new building. You know, we can strive for more. What are we doing for its efficiency? What are we doing for its roof space on solar? What is its energy supply? And there's a huge amount of opportunity here to work with our partner on this.
So, President Bailey, SOU is striving toward ambitious goals, and there's an apparent strong level of confidence in your leadership, as demonstrated by the Board of Trustees unanimously agreeing to extend your contract for 3 years. But now there's a new challenge with a new presidential administration running mm-hmm. the country. How has the Trump administration's directives impacted your campus environment?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think that right now for many people on the campus, there's a lot of anxiety just based on the uncertainty. Right. Yeah. The executive, there's been a flurry of executive orders. The latest one I know your listeners probably heard of is, and it came out 2 days ago, was basically a pitch to make good on a campaign pledge to completely demolish the U.S. Department of Education. Well, the U.S. Department of Education gives out Pell Grant Title IV money, right? And for a school like ours, and by the way, I'm going to say for 95% of institutions in the country, public and private, it's existential. Like our students, they require Pell Grant Title IV funding in order to be able to afford college. So, you know, I think the issue is going to be in the details. Like how is that supposed to play out with everything? I think what we need to do, by the way, there's also a big national conversation about equity, diversity, and inclusion and what the administration is saying and targeting in terms of that.
And this campus is a very strong, diverse, and inclusive campus.
We are. In fact, I would say it's not just something that we do. I think it's part of our DNA as an institution. So I think what we need to do as an institution, and let me be very clear, we're a public institution. So we are bound to federal and state laws. We need to be conscious of those. And at the same time, I think we need to stay true to our principles and the things that guide us. And one of those principles is that every student, every faculty member, every staff member, every community member, no matter what they look like, no matter where they come from, no matter what their last name is, no matter what their gender is, no matter who they love, no matter their immigration status, all these other things, no matter what that is, every single person is deserving and worthy of love and respect. And so we're going to walk that walk. At the same time, we want to be careful so that we don't become we just need to be thoughtful about how we do that. And so I think that's going to be a kind of a thoughtful approach to how we move forward. It's not easy. And by the way, the other thing we need to do is to keep reminding people that we are going to care for them and love them and have their back. And so I think that's going to be our message moving forward.
There's one other factor. There's a lot of Hispanic, Latino, Latinx students that are fearful.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think that message is the same, right? We are not we have one mission here, and that is to provide world-class education, and we do that. And to do it in a way that respects the dignity of all people, right? That's what we are going to continue to do and to provide that space and to be a place of community and love and support. Now, we know that there are we also have to acknowledge that anxiety. And so what are the things that we can do as an institution to help kind of reassure people that we're not going to drift from those core principles? I think that's our goal.
Okay. Well, we have about a minute and a half left. Bex, the Trump administration has also targeted clean energy initiatives and threatened to defund areas of clean energy progress. How are those decisions going to affect the vision we have here at SOU?
I'll echo what President Bailey is saying here, and we're navigating through one of our federal funding sources. Obviously, that's tied to two of the executive orders, and we'll navigate there. We have a significant amount of funding coming through state funding, donors. We're looking at creative ways to fund. So on one hand, yes, things have changed. On the other hand, we need to think about sustainable energy. We need to think about energy resilience. We need to think about community resilience. We are in an area that has natural disasters. We are in an area where we need to increase our electricity. And so we just navigate through it, I think, with optimism, with partnerships, and with an understanding that there are sometimes challenges that we didn't expect. Okay. But I'm excited to what it could bring.
Excellent, excellent. Well, in 10 seconds, what's the vision for the next 3 years?
Yeah, and it's this. It's that. What, no matter what your political persuasion is, the one thing I think everyone agrees on is that students succeeding is a good thing. So that's what we're going to commit to.
Fantastic. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have. Thank you, President Bailey.
Thank you.
And thank you too, Bex.
Thank you.
My guests were SOU President Rick Bailey and Director of Sustainability Bex Walker.